take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. I have nothing, I have nothing without you.
Praise the Lord. How many feel that way? You don't have, there's nothing else that satisfies outside of God. Amen. No job, no school, no friend, no nothing that satisfies outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thomas, you want to help us take up our offering?
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us be here today. Please bless Brother Dale and Brother Wade and all the Dinkins and ministers, Lord. Please bless the church prayer requests and tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Monica, Sister Zoe, and Sister Rachel for that. Let's sing Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus, key of F, as Brother Thomas passes that around. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cross. Take up your cross and follow Him. Once again, sing it unto Him now. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. You know Him. Just count the cost and take up your cross and follow Him. Just count the cost. Oh, count the cost and take up your cross and follow Him. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. There'll come a point in time where we won't be ashamed of Christ, because He was never ashamed of us. Amen. And you will be more than glad to serve Him then. Amen. When He's in you. Praise God. Amen. Let's get ready for the Word. How many are ready for the Word? Let's just sing the old faithful, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, key of F. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Let's stand to our feet. A wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The I first believed, through many dangers, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already gone. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace been there. When we this afternoon. Praise God. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's sing Amazing Grace as Brother Wade comes. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
We shall wear a crown, a bright and shiny crown. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord again. I want everybody to notice we have a new organ player. Sister Kaylee Black, for those of you that don't know who she is. And if any of you guys are watching online, not available yet. And I'm not even her daddy. Yeah. What's your face red as your dress for? Okay. It's all right. Do we have some talent in this church? If you raise them up yourself, you don't have to look for them anywhere else. you just keep them here and keep them under the blood and let them play. We've got so many instrument players, so good grief. If we had a church twice this big, we couldn't get them all up here. But you know what? They do it for the glory of the Lord. We got a lot of young people that play instruments, a lot more than other churches, you know. And Brother Paul, yeah, little kids like Brother Paul. If we had the camera, we'd show you, but he's not young. But he can play like a young kid. Amen. So let's keep these people in our prayers. All these young people that sing and worship and have song service and all that stuff. We just thank God that they're here and not out somewhere else where you can't find them. Amen. Where are your kids? They're in church. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? They're in church. Well, good to be in the house of the Lord again. If you would like to turn your Bibles, let's go back to John 1. We get used to this, all this goings on around here. We got all these monitors, and I hope it helps you because, like I said, you don't have to get your songbook out now. When they get it all fixed up, we'll have every song up here when we sing, so it'll let you know, and you can sing your heart out. And you know what? Without a book, you can do this. If you got a book, you know you're doing this. You're trying to do something, you know. But no. That's why I don't see how these people can preach with these ice cream cones in their hand. I don't know. I got to have some freedom here. I got to talk with my hands. Remember, Brother Luis will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock from 6 to 8 downstairs. Getting back into that groove. Come expecting. Ryan, come bringing whatever that stuff you bring, that pudding, strawberry pudding, and yeah, Sister Trudy, and yeah, brownies, yeah, like 20 pounds of them, if you don't mind, for me, not for them. Okay. But we have a good time. I tell you what, we get a lot done in Bible study. It's, for those 2 hours, you get a lot done, because it's just informal, and we get to sit down and talk about the Lord. And answer questions that's on people's mind. Also, remember now, March the 19th will be 3 weeks from now. Brother Matt Watkins will be here on Saturday at 3 o'clock for the youth service. If you have some youth in another church that you would like to come, then please reach out to them. And Brother Matthew will be with us then again on Sunday, one service, Sunday morning. Trying to give these guys time where they can get back home. And we have a service on Saturday also. So everybody's invited and welcome. On Saturday to come at 3 o'clock. It is for the youth, but you're sure welcome to come and have church service with us. Also, April the 15th, 16th, and 17th, that'll be Easter weekend. That'll be Brother Jewel Forney, Brother Homer Longoria, and Brother Mike Olte. And then we'll have a birthday party for Dad on the 16th. That will be his birthday on that Saturday. We'll have like a normal fellowship meeting and I got to call Brother Tony Uboa and Brother Tom Kershane. I've already told Brother JT Pageant about it. And just keep praying for Brother JT. He's coming along, but he's still struggling with his strength, and his left arm's still a little bit bothering him. So just remember these that are getting older. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day that you give us. Lord, the greatest age to ever live in. This is it. Why should we ask to live anywhere else, Lord, but right here? When we see that the manifestation of the sons of God will come upon this earth, as even the prophet said this morning, just for a little time, it doesn't have to take but a week, of the great power of this church is going to stand. And you're going to come among us, and you're going to fight with us and for us just like you are Israel. When this Gentile dispensation is coming to a close and you're fixing to go to the Jews, there'll be a powerful church to raise up. But, Lord, we got to get ready now. Yeah. Now we must get ready. We can't wait till then. We can't wait till the last battle and then do all of our training. No, it's going to take years and years and months of training. And same way with the Word of God, it takes a lot for us to open up a book and read about you, Lord. But, Lord, let it be common to us now that we do those things, Lord, that we listen to your prophet, that we listen to the ministers, that we do open our Bible and during the middle of the week and in the times when we don't feel like it, Lord, just read a scripture. Lord, that'll be better than anything else. Father, we pray that you'd come among us today in a special way. Be with the ones that are in this building, Lord, that are sick, that you'll sanctify them, Lord, and cleanse them. Be with the ones, Lord, that are not in this building, that are sick, that we're acquainted with, Brother Dale and the different ones, Lord. Be with the ones that's lost loved ones, too, Father. We have several, Lord, for the past several months that have lost loved ones, and, Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the only one who can do that. And, Lord, I pray that you will take this service in your hands and you use it for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. I like what Brother Richard Hyatt was talking about. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all, Matthew, I think, in one of the other ones gives the chronology of the birth. But when John first starts out, he goes back before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why I like the book of John. And I appreciate we're going to pray over this. This is, listen, I'm not going to fall asleep. I promise. Don't think that this is for you to lay your head on either. We're going to pray over this for Sister Anna Kennard when this is over with. And we're going to pray for this whole thing. We're going to give some prayer cloths to Brother Donnie for Brother Dale. His brother's in dire need of two things. Healing and the Lord. The Lord first and then healing. Amen. I'd rather see the healing of a soul. That's eternal. Healing of the body, you can pray for him, and tomorrow he dies of the same thing the prophet of God said. But you can't pray for somebody to get the Holy Ghost, and they get the Holy Ghost, and they lose it tomorrow. Nope, that's an eternal thing. So we'll get started. We'll pray over this when we get finished, but I want to continue what we're talking about this morning and go a little bit further. So let's go to Colossians 1, verse 18. And he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, we're going to talk about preeminence this little bit this afternoon. We brought some from the token because preeminence and obedience is pretty much the same thing, because without obedience, there is no preeminence. I want you to think about that for a minute. Just think about it. Without you being obedient, God can't have the preeminence. If you're disobedient, there is no such thing as preeminence. You've cut it off at the disobedience. But we're going to talk about obedience here in just a little bit. But I want to back up just a little bit. And again, this morning we were talking about growth, stages, order, and dispensations. And that word dispensation means a system of revealed commands and promises. And I brought the quote. I want to read it in just a second. Or a particular arrangement or provision, especially of providence. And Brother Brown tells us in 1963 on the fifth seal, he said, I'm going to set this box up here to represent that. They don't have this, but just listen, I've read it before. If God sends a certain spirit among them, that's the only thing they can work by, is the spirit that works among them. Now listen, now we'll prove to you by the history of the church and by the opening of the seals and the powers that let loose, and watch exactly the church respond to the anointing. Listen, respond to the anointing, and they couldn't do nothing else. Couldn't do anything else. The preeminent thing in every age was different, but it was continually progressing. Because God can never send his word and it go backwards. It's always a progression. Everything is a progression. You can't go back to being a baby. Some of you act like it, but you can't physically go back and be a baby, because that's what happened to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, if I got to become a baby again and go back into my mother's womb, Jesus said, no, you're talking too carnal there, buddy. You need to get spiritual with me. And that's the same thing with you and I, as we were talking about this morning. We need and have, and it is a requirement, part of the stage, part of the growth, part of the order, for us to be prophetic people. With prophetic insight. As I said before, we see that Israel's going to be, two prophets are going to go to Israel, and we see that. That's a prophecy. But now, one day, we're going to be gone, and that prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and it's going to actually literally happen. So now, today, get what I'm saying? We are seeing prophecy fulfilled, And it's not being prophecy anymore. It's a reality. We are living in the vision. I preached a long time ago. You know, Brother Branham had that vision of we were in Jamaica at a tent meeting on Ginger Hill. And I told him, I said, look, Brother Branham had a vision about y'all in 1950-something. Remember, he had the vision of the ones going up the hill and taking the message and coming back, up and back and forth. I said, well, now it's time to step into that vision. Because Brother Branham saw people. Well, somebody, there's got to be somebody fulfill that. Those people are actually, were in that tent that day, because that's what we were doing. We were up on top of a mountain, and they were taking the message to the top of the mountain. But that vision was fulfilled. The visions, there was ever how many hundreds of scriptures that spoke of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. One day that man stood out on the earth and said, I am he. That all these scriptures are talking about. Well, listen, you and I are the bride that has been spoken of even in the Old Testament, coming into the New Testament, and you're a culmination of that to the Gentile dispensation. There is no other. You're that special group of people, that new creation, that new race of people. You know as well as we do that we're not racist by no means. But I'm like what Brother Brown said. Brother Brown said God was a segregationist. He told you to get away from evil. You get away from the world. And being that part of that new creation, new race, you have been separated. But listen, don't try to walk around with that sign on your back, I'm different than everybody else. You just need to show that you're different than everybody else. Act different. To me they say, what's wrong with you? But to you, they may say something else. They may say, I want to be like you. Has anybody ever, you get somebody so caught up and so thirsty that they want to be like you? Most people don't want to be like me. I'm working on that. I'm working on it. Be yourself. Amen. Don't worry about me. We'll make it. But that dispensation that we're living in, we're living in a dispensation that calls that either you're going to come to adoption or you're going to have to go by the grave. You're going to have to pass away, which is no hard feelings. Anybody in this building might have to do that. But somebody, since God saw the vision, somebody is going to have to step into that vision and be that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. You got to decide whether you want to do that. Amen? That's your decision. Everything is a decision. But once though that we know because of good teaching, we know about growth development. We know what stage we're supposed to be in. Even Brother Brown teaches three stages or movements of adoption or three stages even of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. There was a dispensation of justification under Luther. There was a dispensation of Wesley under sanctification. There was a dispensation to where the speaking in tongues and all the gifts were being restored in 1906. But what did Brother Brown say? He said, they cabbage down, stopped. For those of you that don't know what the lingo of Southern people are, cabbage down, that means to stop. Okay? Sorry, Paul. I wanted to get you to where you could get up to speed with the Southerners here. Well, I'm just telling Brother Brown said cabbage down. I'm just quoting, quote. Okay? He was Southern. Sorry. Okay. So, but anyway, cabbage down, in other words, stopped. They said, this is it. This is all we need. We don't need anything else. Why do we need somebody to come and teach us the word? We already got it. Because it is speaking in tongues. It is prophesying. It is whatever they say it is. Right? Not what God said it is. Brother Bram said, that's where you failed. Being the age of adoption, you got to move on with God. And you know what? God didn't stay there very long. He moved on himself. And when he did, Brother Branham tells him in 1950, on that movie that we see, the 20th century prophet, he said, I'm one born out of due time or due season to you Pentecostal people. Well, you know, he was really quoting Scripture because Paul said the same thing. Paul was born out of due time. Brother Brown said Paul was should have been in the upper room with the disciples. But he wasn't. It wasn't time. It wasn't his dispensation. His dispensation was while all those were going on, Paul was, he was actually persecuting them. Persecuting the Christians. But then what did God do? God took him in, into another dispensation and said, Paul, you can't do that anymore. And Paul had enough sense when he got knocked off of that horse. He said, God, what do you want me to do? And then somebody come and prayed for him and received the Holy Ghost. And then he wrote 80% of the New Testament. So God was there to use him. Now, we would have not thought Paul's beginning commentary is not very good. The Bible tells you. He persecuted the church, caused them to blaspheme, put them to death. Not a very good resume. But he was the first prophet of the first church age, and that's the way God wanted it started. So you and I see the dispensation. Well, that was Paul. Well, we live in Paul's dispensation plus. We live in Irenaeus' dispensation plus. Martin plus. Columba plus. We need all that for us to get out of here because there were sections that were missing. I read it to you this morning. Some of them had what? Just enough light to get saved. Because listen, in that ox age, in that Thyatiran age, just to say you were a Christian, it, your life expectancy was very short. And it wasn't that they just shot you and threw you over in a... No, they put you in a prison. And they, you had to watch the lions eat your other people, eat your other fellow Christians. Think about an ox age. Now, Brother Brown said, that's the same spirit me and you use to get through the day with. Get through the day with. You think we have a hard time? He was comparing the hard time we have plus the hard time they have. Because remember, in our age, the 200,000 demons were released on us. Were released on the bride. In other words, it didn't release us on the bride to make us worse either. It was released on the bride to make us better. To get us back to our homeland. To get us back to what? The homeland. The true word of God. I mean, we've stayed in many places, but there's only one homeland. We went in many countries. Brother Lee, 7 weeks he was gone. But and that was his partial homeland, but he came back. He came back. Now this is his homeland because he's an American. So we're Christians, and that's the homeland we're looking at. We may be coming through here, and you know what? Justification is a homeland. It's a place to be. But it's not a place to stay. Temporary homeland. Then you got a sanctification. You got to go through these, folks. As you can't skip one. There's no listen. If you can't skip those, Brother Bram said, if you skip one, he said you'll cause a disaster. In other words, have you ever tried to jump up on a ladder and miss a rung or two? If you miss a rung or two, your shins are going to hurt, your legs going to hurt, your ankle's going to hurt, and you're probably going to have to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I said what I said. Right? Well, that's the same way in the gospel. You can't just jump up and think, I got all this because that's what the Pentecostals said. They said, we've got all this because we speak in tongues, we shout. Brother Brown said, a temper to fight a buzzsaw. I met one time, true Pentecostal. He had a horrible temper, but it didn't matter. He had the victory because he could speak in tongues. He could shout. He could do all these different things. But you and I will take that plus. You and I take that plus. And Brother Gary, one of the 9 spiritual gifts is miracles. Working of miracles, right? Isn't that right? Okay. Yeah, well, no, well, you find it. Brother Ram said, find your gift and get in it. Okay? We've been talking to Brother Gary about raising the ceiling on this up here, but don't think miracles work, so that's okay. I don't want to embarrass him. He'll fall over. Yeah. But the dispensation we're in, we can't go back. Okay, we can't go back. There's no backward movement to go back and say, I need to start over. Now, some of us may need to start over and do it right. Okay? But I'm talking about going back and saying, well, no, we don't need that. We're going back to this. And even the people that are leaving the message, that's exactly what they're doing. I don't think they have anything anyway. Sorry. If they did, they'd keep on at least going in a little bit in this direction. But for them to completely fall back and say that's not true, and they lived in it, like Romans, what was Romans 6? They lived in that anointing. They lived in that dispensation that we're in now. And for them to go back? Uh-uh. There's no going backwards in God. Like those four beasts, they go forward. Everywhere they go forward. If you need a lion spirit, it goes forward. You need the ox, it goes forward. It doesn't go backwards. You don't have to go get it and bring it up here. It just stands up in the forefront. You know, I was reading the other day, we were in the scriptures where it says that take no thought about what you're going to say. Take no thought. Listen, I had to sit and think about all this today. But what about the time when you do? You take no thought of what you're going to say and then you just say it. How many times did Brother Branham? I believe he's took no thought. Because he'd say, what did I just say? I had to go back and listen to the tape to see what I said. He was so caught up in the spirit that God was speaking through him. And listen, when God speaks through you, it's never wrong. That's why Brother Branham was so yielding to the Spirit of God till he yielded to him every time. Every time. Because it was never wrong one time. Amen? So let's go to Romans 8, verse 14 and continue on. We'll get to... Brother Hyatt and I were talking. He said, I told him what my favorite scripture was. He said, well, my favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans. Romans 8. What's the first scripture in Romans 8? There's therefore now no condemnation. So, buddy, it just sheds right off from the beginning. And then it just keeps getting gooder and gooder as you keep reading it. Because it goes to adoption. It goes to those who is justified. He's already glorified. And who can say to this, if God be for us, who against us? That whole chapter of Romans 8, it's a wonderful chapter. So let's read this 8:14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. All right, now we talked about this morning, we talked about headship. Let's go to the next one, to the next quote. I was reading this. I'm condensing this a little bit. Brother Ram said, now he's standing in the midst of the church. He's standing there revealing who he is in the last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. Not somebody else. Not an interpretation. Listen, that's our problem. We've been interpreting wrong. But when you've got the interpreter himself, the creator, a special designation of himself. We can't fall if he takes over. That's what preeminence is. That's why we haven't got to where we're at. Preeminence. Obedience. We'll get to that in just a second. But I like this right here. This is the true revelation of God. Now, if you ever want to know what a true revelation of God is, that's it right there. This is his purpose. What? To have another creation. To have a bride that was created by the breath of God. The day you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you were recreated. A new creature or a new creation. We'll read that in Romans 8 in just a little bit. But that's, to me, that's the headship. That's the headship of God. Is the true revelation of God is that you are another creation. And you got to start believing that. And God did it. You can't create yourself. You didn't create yourself the first time. How are you going to create yourself the second time? Amen? I mean, who had something to do with your first birth? But you do have something to do with your second birth. Amen? So let's go to number two. Read it real quick. This is where I was talking about questions and answers, talking about dispensations and timing. It says, oh, I just know that you don't see it. I'm just positive that you don't see it. I'm just positive. Positive. You say, Brother Brown, that's hard for me to say. I know it is, but look, let me just say this now. He's talking about being taped. You don't get it. You're not supposed to get it. So don't try to interpret anything. See, don't try to put your interpretation to it. You'll only get further away. And that was a lot of problem with the people in the early part of the church age, or the part of the church age we saw. I don't mean the church age Laodicea, the church part that when Dad came out in 1968, man, it was just doctrines running all over the place. Why? They just took doctrines and run with them. They had no books or tapes, hardly, to defend it with. They just heard somebody speak, and they just took whatever that person said. That's not that way anymore. Thank God it's not that way anymore. We got something to fight with now. Brother Brown said, we have now the devil's answer. And it's in the message of the hour. So don't go further away. Now let's go to the next one. Obedience. Let's read number 3, what he says in the token. The token is a sign that the purchase has been made. Look what he says. Because in a little while we're going to do, not today, but we're going to separate your new birth from your adoption because they are separate. Everybody okay with that? Yeah. Now look, the token, what is a token? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? That is the sign that the purchase has been made, new birth, and been accepted, adoption. Because they're not the same, but they're interconnected to each other. You can't get one without the other. You can get the new birth without being adopted, but you can't get adopted without having a new birth. So now it's been accepted. You can't get the token from the railroad fare until you pay the price. And the only way you're going to pay the price is pay it. What? Believe it. Accept it. Look, full obedience to the whole Word of God will entitle you to the token. Now, not just the token of the new birth in your baby stage, just the one all the way up going to the statue of a perfect man. Full obedience, not the part of it as far as your denomination goes. He said, Brother Wade, I'm not denomination. We all got denomination ideas if they're wrong. If they're contrary to the Word of God, I don't care. You can send a message church all your life and be a denomination. But full obedience, not the part of it as far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the Word, which is Christ, brings you into Christ. Now keep reading. Let's read. Now, what if you were just all in but your foot hanging out? Is that kind of the way we are sometimes? How are you going to walk? How are you going to walk if you got one foot hanging out? You got one foot stuck in the door. You got one good one. You'll go nowhere. You got to be all in or all out. What if you was all in with your hand hanging out? You couldn't clap your hand then? Look, watch this. Most all of us are in, but the heart's hanging out. Wow. The heart's in the world yet. But we don't do that. Full, complete obedience puts you and the Word one. You believe it, every bit of it, and all of it's in you, and you watch it work through you. Everybody good with that? Say amen. And then we got to move up. We got to grow up in the stature of Christ. Now watch. Let's go to questions and answers number 4. This is what I read this morning. I am not him. I am not the Son of Man. I am his servant. And the pillar of fire is not he. It's in spirit form, which was upon the Son of Man, has come now to anoint sons of men to bring back the ministry. Look, just exactly like he said it would be. Now, what did he say it would be? I and my Father are one. I don't speak. My Father speaks. If you hear me speaking, it's the Father speaking. In other words, he didn't tell him, but he's looking out and said, look, as long as what's inside of me is talking to you, there is no mistakes. Amen. Everybody got that? Amen. That's our problem is because we soft soap it. We say, well, you see it this way and I see it this way. Well, now, Jesus never got up on Monday morning and said, now, God, I don't see it that way. Never. He had full obedience. And you say, well, he was the Word. Well, now, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, anyway, so we've read that too many times. Not too many times, but we've read too many times for you not to believe it. We're shortchanging ourselves. All of us are shortchanging ourselves. Because we say no, we can't do that. or I'm in. Now, look, Brother Brown didn't put a stipulation we were talking about. He said full obedience. He left it at that. Full obedience to the word brings the token. Now, let's continue. We got some more to read here. All right, look. Which was the Son of Man to bring back a ministry just exactly like he said it would, in order for the head and the rest of the body to connect together. How in the world can the body and the head be not together or do something different? They can't be contrary. Just like the pyramid, as Enoch built, we find the pyramid, they never did get the headstone on it. What? The headstone's yet to come. Now look, let's break this down just a minute. We know that the prophet's message was from the seals on was the headstone message. Everybody got that? Say amen. That was the headstone message. When he preached those seals, that was Christ back on earth again in a man to bring back more men and women into this message of the hour. But he said the headstone's yet to come. Brother Brown wasn't the headstone. He brought the headstone message. But now hold on a minute. Let's go back two quotes. But they weren't getting it. Right? 1963, after he preached six seals, he had questions and answers. He said, you're not getting it. In other words, you're not getting this headstone message. You're still under this dispensation of the Son of God. You're still getting the Holy Ghost. You're still having signs and wonders. You're still part of the Word. But that's this dispensation. I need you to move over into this one. And he couldn't get them to move. It's gone from you. It's not for you. Those people were shut off. But they shut their self off. They shut their self off. We were talking back in the back. Brother Branham would have been kicked out of that businessman's convention if it hadn't been for Carl Williams. Carl Williams had enough pull in that businessman convention to keep Brother Branham in there. He said, if you take Brother Branham out, I'm leaving. And he was a pretty wealthy guy. And he told them because they wanted to get rid of Brother Branham because they couldn't understand him because he was way against their denomination. But there was two. Brother Joe was, he's going to send it to me. There was two Baptist men that apologized to Brother Branham for talking about him. Apologized for talking about his doctrine. But nobody wants it. The whole world's against this. The whole world's against this message. Listen, take what we're preaching, all of us in this church, and let's go to Washington, D.C. Anybody want to start the car? We can fly. It's probably pretty cheap now. You want to go? And go to the White House? I figure they're probably going to change that now. Can't be a White House no more. Anyway, I hope they're not listening. I really don't care if they are or not. But look, take what we got. Even not up to the total manifestation. Listen, in type, Moses was the epitome of manifestation. Let my people go. Mm-mm. Not letting you go. Okay. Flies. Fleas. Frogs. Just for a moment. We saw it in the end time. Storm go away. We saw it in a little man. We saw the third pull work. But he wasn't the headstone. So now I want to ask you a question. If Jesus Christ is not coming back in body form, do you everybody understand what I'm saying? In his body, he will not touch this earth until the millennium. Is that correct? Who's the headstone? Where's the headstone? It's not William Branham. It's not the anointing. It's not the one that comes to the platform that you're talking about. That's great, the healing part. It's what he was preaching. But it's not just what he was preaching on letter. It was what it was landing on. It wasn't landing on anything when he was preaching. He was prophesying of a group coming that the headstone will come to. And it won't just come to us, it'll be in us. And then we will reproduce what Jesus Christ did on the face of the earth. We saw it a little while in Brother Branham. He said, you went to so-and-so doctor and he's got red hair and he wears glasses. Look how he was so detailed. You know why he was looking at it in the vision? A television popped up in front of him. We think these are pretty clear. What about a prophet? He can see. He said, Brother Dow, I'll shake your hand. You had on a red, you know, you had on a red tie and a blue suit. And I see the doctor. I saw one. I listened to the other days. I see the doctor writing down your blood pressure. How can he see a doctor writing down blood pressure that happened 3 or 4 days ago? Right. He saw a vision. Something had been recorded, and this prophet could enter into that recording and see that somebody was writing down, I see the doctor writing down your blood pressure, and it's high. Why didn't he just say your blood pressure is high? God wanted us to know that it can be done. It can be done. God in an individual can do the same thing. You and I, Brother Branham said, look, he said, what you've seen in part, I'll bring this quote in a couple of weeks. What you've seen in part, you'll see in its fullness. If that was part, millions healed, hundreds of people, hundreds of thousands of people received the new birth. Several, untold how many people got healed. You just don't know. And that was part. You know why? Because the headstone's yet to come. Sure, that was a part of it. But what about when the fullness comes? And we know it's not going to be in one person. It's going to be in a many-membered body. Look, folks, as the days go further, our fear should be lessened by one thing. I said lessened by one thing. If we will have faith that God's going to show up in Paul, Brother Paul, and do a miracle that needs to be done, I don't have that much fear anymore. And that Brother Donnie's going to pop up one day and move a storm. And if I've got something, you know, and it, like Brother Sister Anna, you know, don't go down that road tomorrow. I see you're going to have a wreck. Come on, folks. That's what's coming. And it's not just standing up here. Not here. We've already seen it in part. We've seen it in this church in part. But what about when the headstone is yet to come? But we're not going to get there, folks, until we go through adoption. No way. You'll have too much power and not know what to do with it. Because what power without what? Character? That's character. What about Jesus Christ that created the world? He said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. Brother Brown said he could have just moved one finger and 10,000 angels would have destroyed the world and set him free. Yet he was so obedient. He was so obedient to what he was supposed to be there for. He denied every bit of that. He denied all the pain he had to go through, all the heartache, what, to get me and you out. He was going through birth pain so he could birth me and you. Right. The only way you get a new birth is Jesus Christ. Right. Amen? You get a new birth through Jesus Christ, and then he lives inside of you. But now we've got other things. Now let's go to Galatians 4 real quick. Now I say that the heir, as long as a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Though you have the new birth, and you can create a world and go live on it. And know what the prophet of God said? He said, you that have the new birth, you have the power in you to create a world and go live on it. He said, but there's a bar holding you from doing that. What about when that bar's lifted? Talk about a future home. People worry about us not having enough room. Grief. Create a world if you get too crowded down here. Create your one and go live on it yourself. Invite people over because it's just travel like a thought, so it's not going to matter. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under what? Tutors and governors. Now, what are tutors and governors for? We were talking about a schoolmaster, schooling, training, tutors, governors, stages. First grade, second grade, third grade, those are stages in your educational journey. Right? We should be able to see what God's doing just by looking at what we see outside. What we see in our life, we should be seeing how God works and not be so, well, I don't know how you're going to do that. Well, I do. You sat down and I remember when Josh first started drawing and writing. Well, his handwriting's not very good anyway because it runs in the family. Daddy's, you can't. He should have been a pharmacist. So you try to read his notes. It is written in an unknown language. You just can't read them. But anyway, Josh started writing, and I thought, oh, this kid is never going to get through school. Nobody can read what he's writing. But after about, what, third grade, fourth grade, it started getting a little bit better. Fifth grade, sixth grade. You look at some of yours. How many of y'all remember them old papers that were this big? Them tablets were huge. Yeah, Paul does. Well, did they have paper back when you were going? Oh, your mother was a teacher. Okay. But remember the ones that had the little lines? There was the blue lines, and then you had the little dots, and you had to make your A match every one of those dots, and they wanted you to B, and the B would do this. What if you'd have stayed that way? Here's my point. What if you'd have stayed that way? What if today you're taking notes on that same tablet? There'd be something wrong with you, wouldn't it? Right? You'd be able to read it, though, wouldn't you, sister? You would be able to read it because the fonts are real big. And the kids are sitting here going, we used to have a chalkboard. Chalkboard. Wrote cursive. We couldn't use a calculator at one time when I was growing up. They let people have one after that, but we couldn't use one. Your calculator was in your head. But you see how the advancement. Now listen, let's take that advancement. Same way with God. Yeah. Brother Brown tells us, he said, look, you got a horse-drawn carriage, and now we've got 1,500 miles an hour, break the speed of sound. They don't do it anymore because all of them crashed. But they used to get from here to France in, what, like an hour and a half because you were running 1,500 miles an hour. That's the same way with God, folks. If you're not progressing, you need the new birth. Please. All of us. Sure, we all need more, but you got to know that you're at least in school. But under tutors and governors until the time appointed, look, a time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Father, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then you're an heir. We're going to get to that in just a minute when we read a few quotes. We're going to go to Romans 8, verse 14, but let's stay in Galatians. Now let's go to the next quote. Number 5. Listen, this is part of the curriculum. We're talking about school. This is part of the curriculum. And I don't disagree. It takes all fivefold ministry. That's why, you know, we're sitting here today and y'all just as dead as a hammer, and that's all right. I don't mind. You're listening. But if Andrew Glover was up here, hello, somebody. I see some of y'all and I look and I go, they're going to hurt themselves because they don't do that all the time. Like Anderson said, he was hurting in places he never hurt before. Why? He never crawled up. You see that little hole right there? Yeah. That's where he was yesterday. He was up in that hole. working on stuff. But I'm just telling you, you will not get to adoption without teaching. That's my whole point. You will not get to adoption by just evangelism, by just even profit. It's going to take all the fivefold ministry because you got to use every one. But watch what Brother Brown says. He said, look, I just love teaching. I think it's wonderful. It gives the basis and settles the church. That's why that. Get those things fixed. That's why I believe this church, even though you may think we have the biggest problems in the world, we're the most settled church I've ever been in, and I've been in several. I hear other pastors, and I'm friends with a bunch of them, and the problems they have, we don't have. We got our problems, but listen, teaching settles you down because teaching answers your question. It answers your question. Now, if you're sitting there today with a question, God will answer it. But an evangelist, his job or his what? Anointing or his dispensation is to get you riled up a little bit. Tell you what God has done for you or tell you what God can do for you or you know, give you a wonderful story and tell you that, you know, how God did this. That's great. It's what we need. But if we're going to go on to adoption, that's why adoption will not be reached by a lot of people. Because they won't take teaching. I mean, I was probably one of the weird ones in school. I actually liked to go to school. I liked teaching. Abby? Yeah? Or no? Yeah? You're like me. You're weird. I love to go to school. Well, I would go because June was there some, but most of the time it's because I wanted to learn something. But do we do that here? I mean, I know most of you do. But it's a requirement. We had to go to school. It doesn't matter if you went into Miss Hendricks' class in English, and she was about 250 back in 1978. She was that old. And you got taught English, and you just had to persevere through it. But then you go in somebody like Doc Sis's class, and he taught arithmetic. We say arithmetic. You don't call that now. What is arithmetic? Math. He taught math, and he made it fun. I enjoyed being there. I didn't so much enjoy Miss Hendricks' class, but I had to go. Because you know what? English was a requirement. Can't you tell I made it? Oh, well, some of you say no. Okay. But you see, as I become more and more in this walk, I can look back in my life and say, okay, God, you've treated me just about the basis that I've went through this. Why not? Listen, you can't relate. I can't relate to Brother Bob. His life. Totally different. I can't relate to Frieda's, though we've known each other pretty much all our life. But you understand what I mean? You have to take your life, and you know what? God acts on your life. What you've done, if you've turned your life over to him, there is a way that you come that's different from the rest. You get the same point. Y'all went to different schools, different colleges maybe, but you got a diploma. That was your, and that's the same thing with this. Persevere. Make it to graduation. No matter what school you go to, as long as it's a message school. But look, it gives the basis and settles the church. Now, I believe that because I've seen it happen. Now, let's continue on. Number six. This is from Adoption, Jeffersonville. What? David. That's all right. At least he's saying something. At least he's alive. At least he's responding. Now look, preaching usually catches a sinner. Brings him under... Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I didn't say that today, but everybody believe he was a prophet. Okay, all right. So I can continue now, right? Brings him under condemnation by the word. And you know, that's true. Brings conviction. But if you just learned and had a conviction message every time you walked in the door, But look, but teaching places a man positionally. Remember, this is our requirement. This is our requirement. It's to come to a position. That's what adoption is. It's placing. But teaching places a man positionally what he is, and we can never rightly be able to have... Everybody still believe Brother Branham was a prophet? Okay. And we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know where we are. Okay. Isn't that right? Now let's read number 7. Adoption number 2. Now, what is adoption? Now, let me get to this. I don't know whether I won't have time to get through it, but I'll hit it. And if there's a question, you can ask later. Your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. When you are born again, St. John 1:17, I believe, when we are born of the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. But we were predestinated. Now, remember, the Bible tells us we're predestinated unto adoption. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to you for this sons of the last day. He's talking to us. We were predestinated unto adoption. Now here we are. Now, this is what hurts Pentecost a little. They say, I got born again. Praise the Lord, got the Holy Ghost. Look, Brother Ram didn't deny it. He said, fine, you're a child of God. But yet that ain't what I'm talking about. Well, I bet that burned them up a little bit. See, you were predestinated unto adoption. Adoption is placing a son. Now, we know, and I'm not going to read this quote because it's really long, and we'll get to Romans 8:14. It's 3:20. It will give us about 10 more minutes. But number 8 on my quotes, a believer's position in Christ, is a very long quote. Now, we know one thing's for sure. When you're born again, you're a child of God, right? And you're put under tutors and governors. When you were in the world, you did as the world, right? They're pulling it up there. You can read it while I'm talking. Because when you're born again, you're a son. Don't worry about that. You're in the family. There's no way they can take you out. I can't reverse being a Dale. All right? I was born one. But now what I do afterwards, like the prodigal son, what you do afterwards, that's what gets you a position. The very moment you're born in the family, you're a son and daughter of God. The day you get the new birth, you're a son and daughter of God. But that's not your adoption. You have to go through school. You have to go through tutors and governors. You have to go through trials and tribulations. And then what happens with the Holy Ghost, though, He sees what you do every hour of your day. You know, I like it when he says he's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. But sometimes he's an ever-present help when I'm in trouble. When I'm trouble. Right? Yeah. So the Holy Ghost responds and goes back to the Father and says, well, he's doing good in this part, but this part he needs some help. And you know what? Everybody in this building knows where you're at and what help you need. Okay? That's the Holy Ghost. Bringing the attention that you need this, whatever this is. Amen? Well, do something about this. It's really simple. We make it hard. We made school hard. Well, I didn't. But a lot of people made school hard. Why? They wouldn't show up. They'd be tardy or skip school or... Hello? Or sleep in class. Hello? Anyway. Sleep in class? Now, whose fault was that? Was that the teacher's fault? Some of you would say, yeah. But that's not, yeah. But the Word of God can't be boring, folks. So you can't blame it on boring. Listen, the prophet of God, you believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Amen. Prophet of God said you could read the scripture and go home and you'd have church service. We ever tried that any time? Have we ever done that before? I don't think we have. Terrence almost did that one time. He subbed for me downstairs. Yeah. Some of y'all were in there. He did what he was supposed to do. Okay? I asked him to teach Sunday school, and he did. I didn't give no time limit on it. But look, but that boy gets to a certain age. When you and I get to a certain age in our regular, you know, some of us have kids. I got one 35 still living at home. But that shouldn't be that way. That should not be. That's not normal. Like Brother Dick said, remember two numbers, 18 and 30. When you get 18, you got 30 days to get out. And you know what? Everybody thinks that. Well, Brother Dick was pretty hard, but you know what? He raised three. I hope Sister Gail's watching in. Most times she is. He raised three outstanding kids. Became very professional and did professional things and made good money, but he wouldn't let them in the house if he didn't want them in there. You know what? God's that way sometime. Now, not in this house. He never will tell you not to come into this house. But he will say, look, grow up. Grow up. You have been through this trial three times. You got to pass it because you didn't the other three. Try something different. Try something different. If you keep having to take the same test, try something different. But this is the way adoption goes. Let's go to the first stage. Let's go to Romans 8 just for a few minutes. We've been through this. Yeah, I just scrolled all the way through. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 14. We're going to look at the first stage of adoption. Everybody all right for just a few minutes? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We've already covered that before. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry. I keep saying Father, Father, but that's what it is. Abba means, again, Father, Father. But you receive the spirit of adoption. Listen, I was sitting, I wasn't even serving the Lord, and I went with Dad hunting. I'm going to stand right here. I'm not going any further. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to do like Daddy does. Daddy used to do this. He'd do it over there, but I do it on this side because I'm left-handed. So I get on the right side. Figure that one out. I got to get my thought back. So me and Dad, we took off and we went to Colorado hunting. It was 1995 and we went to Jim Ed Dalton's cabin and we went hunting. Well, there was two brothers there. Well, I just called one of them's name. But yeah, I wasn't going to. But there was two brothers there and they were sitting on both sides of the table. And Daddy was sitting right here. In 1995, I mean, I knew enough about God to know what they were talking about. But one brother says, you don't get nothing. You got to have all these virtues, and then God gives you the Holy Ghost. All right? Right, Dan? Then the other brother on the other side says, no. Brother Brown, put me on a tether. The other brother quoted a quote. He said, Brother Brown said, you get everything at the new birth. You get everything you need for your journey. Now, that's a direct quote. You get everything you need. The Holy Ghost doesn't give you a piece of it. You get it. Okay. And this one over here says, no, you don't get anything until you grow up in the stature of perfect man, because Brother Brown wrote Holy Spirit at the top of the pyramid. And one said, well, no, you're turning the pyramid now upside down. The other one's this way. And I remember Daddy said, hold on, brothers. He said, let me just pull this thing into the middle. You both are right, and you both are wrong. Right? And what you said, you both are right, and you both are wrong. Because you do get everything you need at the new birth. And you do need the Holy Ghost. That's why he wrote it up there. You do need the Holy Ghost, but you can't get the virtues without having the Holy Ghost. And they're added. He goes back to Peter, and I remember he said, look, it says add. If it says add, that means you ain't got that part. Right. You need to add that part. Yeah, right. I had enough sense to go, man, them guys don't know what they're talking about. But remember, you see that so close, though, where you take a quote that says you get everything for your journey. And it is. When you get the new birth, you get eternal life. Right? Right? Then you got to start growing. Listen, how in the world, and this is my point now that I'm on this side, how are you going to get these virtues without the Holy Ghost? Brother Brown said you could get some of them without having it, but it's normal human nature. I just read you this morning where it says having the divine nature of God. Listen, there is nothing of your nature divine except what God give you. Everything else is of the devil. Everything. Even your carnality. Even whatever you work tomorrow, you're going to be carnal. Because you got to work with this world. Right? Okay. So let's don't go either way. Let's do like Brother Brown. I remember when he was saying that, where Brother Brown said, let me take the leaf off of this Trinitarian tree. Let me take the limb off of this oneness tree and let's plant the tree and get the truth out of it. See, that's where teaching helps you. Those two never sat down and listened to teaching. They were both pastors at the time, too. But you see how far off you can be, but so close you can be. They weren't either far off bad, but they were so far off that one of them was going to try to get the virtues without getting the Holy Ghost. You're fighting a losing battle. You're fighting a losing battle. How in the world are you going to get the virtue of God without having God's help inside of you? Nada. Ain't going to happen. All right, so let's go. Everybody okay? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And look, and if children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God, and what? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we, what? Suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So what's the first stage of adoption? Get born again. Can't get adopted without being born again. Get born again. Have God working in your life. And you might get a certain amount of each one of these. Listen, that's why faith is right here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can't please him no further up that statue of perfect man without getting faith first. And that will be the faith of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Listen, if you get born again today and you die tomorrow, that's okay. You're a bride. You're a bride. Okay? I mean, you can't, the little kid, you know, you got 20 kids. How many kids you got in grammar, kindergarten? How many? 22? 22 kids. Anna's not going to come in there and judge them for being to be a human or not. Right? She's not going to go, well, now, number four is not a human. Number seven is not a human. They may not act like humans, but they're definitely humans. So what am I saying about, so God is not going to say, well, I give you the new birth and then I'm going to do away with you. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. No, he's pleased to dwell in you. He is pleased to dwell. If God's happy, he's like mama. If mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Chew on that in a while. All right, let's go to the second stage, and then we'll stop, and we'll take it up next week because I want to recap this. So the first stage of adoption is make sure you're born again. Let's go up this thing together. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. You know, everybody's going to drive Chevrolets and Fords and Toyotas. Hondas. Yeah. See what I mean? You call that what you like. Right? Same way with God. There's parts of God that different things that you like that I don't like. I mean, it's not that I don't like, but you prefer them more than others. A lot of you like teaching. A lot of you like the evangelistic kind of doctrines and or preachers, and but you got to have teachers to make it out of here. I believe. I just believe you got to have teaching. You got to have. Listen, all those quotes I read you would not harm you. It says it will make you established. It will positionally place you. It will calm a church. Why wouldn't we want that? We got to have it. Let's go to the second stage. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, because listen, going up the statue of perfect man, you're going to have trouble. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. What is the headstone and where is it going to be revealed in? Me and you. Me and you. Not just this person. Not just that person. All of us. The collective body will be the Son of Man in the end time. It will not be just one person. Because even Brother Brown said, I'm not the Son of Man. I'm a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Like I said many times before, if you never thought about this, what's the difference in the Son of Man and us? There's one difference. It knocks the whole thing out to begin with. If you were born by sex, you're not the Son of Man. First requirement. First requirement, Jesus' first requirement, be virgin born. If you're not, and I know you none of you are, so that knocks you out. You can't be the Son of Man. But you can be a Son of Man. Because you know what? You're heirs and joint heirs. We were at church one time, and Brother Harold Hildebrand, I'll never forget, he was preaching away, and he preached on this subject, not his adoption, but he's talking about being heirs and joint heirs. He said, you know what? He said, it's like this hand and this hand. This is you, and this is Jesus Christ. He said, joint heirs is not like this. He said, joint heirs is you lock hands, and that's joint heirs right there. Whatever he is, you are. No more, no less. This is you tied to Jesus Christ. Whatever he gets, you get. Because look, he's the Son of Man. He's God in human flesh. What are you? God in human flesh. Letting the virtues come out of your life, just like Jesus, the epitome of God, was God, the headstone of God. The only reason we're less is because we came by sex. Think about it. That's the only thing. He was a human just like me and you. Brother Brown said he could have had a family. Man, could have had a family just like us. He had pains. He had heartaches. He had trials. He never had a mother-in-law, but it's okay. But when that man stands there, that's Jesus Christ. But now, where's he today? Oh, Brother Wade, he's up there at the right hand of God. I thought Brother Brown said he was here. Right here. Where? Physical form? Nope, your physical form. Joint heirs. Whatever he is, that's what you are. Listen, you say, oh, I can't be that. Well, listen, you're denying what he's already said because he said that. I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm not trying to teach you a different way. I'm just reading the Bible. The Bible says you're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever he gets, you get. Now look, watch. So you're a baby. You're born again. First stage, you're a born again baby in Christ. Now let's go to verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Second stage, revealed in us. All right, now hold it right there. We're going to talk about this and then we'll quit. Let me read that one more time. Listen. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Wowsy, wowsy, woo. I got problems. Let's start being obedient. When my Holy Ghost goes out on a limb, I don't know about y'all's, but mine does, because I drive him out there every once in a while because of my stupidity. The only way to get him back is quit doing what I did that made him go out there. Amen? Remember what Brother Dale always said? If you keep hitting your finger with a hammer, move your finger. But you know what? Sue, that's too simple. That's just too simple. Move your finger. If you don't want to hit your finger, move your finger. Keep on hammering. Just move your finger. For I reckon the suffering of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So this is going to happen, and we are going to be recipients of it, and then we got to show it out. Now, let's take just for an example. Hang on a minute. Nah, not you. I need some car keys. Anybody give me some car keys? Oh, John, you got car keys. Give me some car keys. Give me car keys. I can't come back there. No, you don't have no kids. Not here. Brother John, can you bring me your car keys, please? Thank you. Okay. Okay, this is your car, right? It drives and everything's fine, right? Got gas in it? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Mordecai, come here. Uh-uh. Stand right here. Isn't this a human being? A child of God? Right? Got two eyes? Hold your hands up. Left hand, right hand. Shake your feet. You got a left foot and right foot. Smile. He's got teeth. He's got all the qualifications to drive this car. Oh, yes, he does. He's a son of God. No, I think Brother John's has got one of those. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got one of those that the steering wheel comes up and so does the brakes and the... Here. Now, when we get done, I want you to go out there and put this in Brother John's car and drive your mom and daddy home. Can you do that? He said he could. Go give that to Brother John. But that's the way God is, folks. Here I am. I'm a human being. I'm a son and daughter of God, child of God. Got everything I need. Like the brother said, I got everything I need for my journey. That's right. But would you give the car keys to him to drive your car home? No. And God's not going to give you that either, even though you be a son. He's going to give you tutors and governors. He's going to give you the word of God. But see, now, Morty doesn't have driver's license. He's not old enough yet. But nothing's going to change except stature and age between the now of, how old is he now? Nine? From 9 to 15, nothing's going to change in him except his learning. I hope he gets taller. He will, because his mama's tall. But there will nothing change about him from the time I stood here. And y'all ever wondered, I mean, Brother John was about to have he was coming to get the keys. Don't mess up a good story. He was coming, but you know what? That's the same way with God. He watches over his children so much. He knows one day you're going to be able to drive the car or handle the word of God or pray for the sick or preach or whatever. Whatever. 9 spiritual gifts. All those different things. But not when you're a baby. Not when you're a baby. He's not going to give you the car keys, even though the car's out there full of gas. He's got to wait so many years before he can drive. And the thing he's going to learn is he's not going to get another eye. I hope not. Or any other part except intelligence. And he's got to take a test. Thank you, Preacher Jim. He's got to take a test. I'll get to that in a minute. When I just read, look, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, him standing right here with the keys, he's going to go through a walk in his natural life of ever how many years, 9 to 15, and he's going to have troubles and trials and tribulations. But when he gets 15 years old, the state of Georgia says he can get a driver's license if he passed the test and somebody ride with him, called a learner's permit. Well, you know what? God gives you a learner's permit. He allows you to go so far, but he knows how far to stop. But you know what? Brother Branham says, and I'll bring it the next time we get into this. Brother Brown says, here we see, he said, we see scrap heaps of ministers. In other words, you're driving down the road and you see this pile of preachers. A wreck that have went past the program of God and tried to do their own thing, their own way. And listen, folks, they drag the people with them. They drag the people with them because without the people, the preacher is just one person. Right? He said the scrap heaps of ministers that have went out past God's program. All right, give him the keys back. Go let him drive your car home tonight. Disaster. But let him grow in grace and knowledge. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Let him grow. And then God can hand you the keys and say, here, you can drive this. You are now able to drive this car or this vehicle to where it needs to go. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This world is waiting so that we can all drive a car. According to the analogy I just gave you. We got to grow up to a certain time. To a certain time. Then God will hand you the car keys. He'll say, here, you be a preacher. You be a Sunday school teacher. You be someone that gives exhortation. You be someone that can sing a special that will really, you know, motivate the people to get into worship. Here, song leader, this is your job. You got the keys. Get these people ready for me to talk to them. Not when they're a novice. When they've grown up and suffered a little bit. And that glory. So what's going to be revealed? What's going to be revealed is that Morty's a son, but now he has responsibility. Now he has responsibility. And you know who gives him? You know, it's okay if Tim's your name. We call him Bro so much, so I call him Bro. Brother Bro. Brother Tim, he was probably pretty nervous too because he's responsible for Morty. Right? God's responsible for you. When you become a son, God's responsible for you. And he's going to tell him, Morty, don't get in the car. Son, don't go get in that car, okay? But he had to teach that person not to. What if he said, yeah, Morty, go ahead, take them keys and drive that car. Disaster. And then he's got to pay for it. And God's not going to do that. He's only going to give you the keys when he sees you're ready for it. What a great teacher. You know, that we try to teach all we can and we try to help all we can. But sometimes as human beings, we miss the mark. But God never misses the mark. When he puts you on a journey and you take all that and do it correctly, when you get the keys from God, drive the car. That's what I've said before. Let whatever you got inside, let it out. Because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature or creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We'll stop right there. Let's stand to our feet. If we go any further, we'll have to go on down some more, but we'll cover this next Sunday. God bless you. We love you. Brother Luis will be speaking for us on Wednesday. Brother David will be speaking for us the next Wednesday. Sister, he don't bother me one bit. Does he bother y'all? No. He doesn't bother us one bit. You don't worry. I think it's great. Be vocal. Some of y'all try that. God bless you. I hope you got something today. I want us to see that we all need to grow up and the way to do it. We have the way to do it. We are not, listen, not discounting anything in the world or any denomination. They do the best they can, but they cannot come to adoption. Sorry. You can't take a false doctrine to adoption. That's why Brother Bram had to come and start with the babies. The Pentecostal babies. Get them right. Move them out into what? The message of the hour. And then move that on over to me and you, the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. We'll read some more quotes from that, but let's sing a song, brother.
I'm rejoicing night and day
as I walk the narrow way. For the hand of God in all this life I see. And the reason of my gladness, yes, the secret of all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within.
That Donnie's going to see him. We're going to take a prayer call to him, and we love that. The Lord is just a human being, Father. He needs you. That's the whole piece that's missing, Lord. And you just, Lord, give him, Lord, that. Whatever it is, Lord, make him where he will accept you, Lord. And then when he does, he'll know that our sister meant no harm in anything she did, and that she's at peace, Lord. But I pray that he'll be at peace with this whole situation, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Well, if you're at peace, you can't do anything about it. You let God do the rest of it. Right? Okay.
For the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul. Since the Comforter abides in me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides
in me. Not with me, in me.
There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up instantly. All my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away.
She wants
since
us to pray over this pillow for a certain thing, sister Ann, on this for a certain thing, and then take it to where it needs to go. That's what God said, do that. It's just a prayer cloth on steroids. Just a big prayer call. Amen. So let's pray over this thing. Now we know what we're praying for, right? Okay. The Heavenly Father, Lord, this pillow is going to go home with our sister, Lord, and I pray that when she uses it, sits on it, leans against it, sleeps on it, Lord, that she'll, in her heart, she'll hear you say, by my stripes, you have been healed. And Lord, I pray that you would comfort our sister, Lord, and give her strength, Lord, in her body as she heals, Father. But this cloth, this little pillow, Lord, I pray that she'll cherish that, Lord, and keep it with her. In Jesus' name we ask, Lord. Amen. Believe that. Amen.
Walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. Will he abide? He abides. Hallelujah, he abides in
me. Your son is standing here, Lord, asking a petition. Lord, there's something that goes on in all of our minds, Lord, that we don't understand. When we start losing our mind, Lord, things happen like this. We get confused. But, Lord, you were in a tomb one time in Gadara, and there was a man that had lost his mind, and that he had no clothes on, and he wandered around the caves and all these different things. But, Lord, when he met you, that demon went away from him, Lord, and he was in his right mind. Well, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that our brother will go and just hug our brother, Lord, and comfort him. And when he does that, Lord, that demon will leave that man, Lord. We've hung on that man for a long time, Lord. just for a little while, Father, we pray that you'd heal him and be with him, Lord. Touch Sister Janet, Lord, and her body and the different ones that have anything to do with this keeping of each one, Lord. Sister Audrey also, Lord. We pray for them, Father, in their old age, Father. We pray that you would just bless them, Lord. Age is not a number to you, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that our brother will do that. Just go hug him. Just go hug him. Hug him and hold him. He probably needs that more than anything. And you watch that thing get out of here. Amen? You believe that? Amen. Me too.
Oh, he abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. Comforter abides in me. Oh, what can wash away?
Good. Oh, precious is the flow. Our problem is a lot of times we dam it up. Sorry, we do. We're our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. That's why I keep saying, folks, let out what you got. Let it out. When that maniac of Gadara, when he came before Jesus, he let out a legion. Right? Jesus didn't have to scream and holler and slap him and move him. No, there wasn't no song service going. Jesus was just who he was. And actually, Jesus didn't say anything to him. The devil inside of Legion said, "What are you doing here? Why are you tormenting me before my time?" The devils was the ones that were screaming. Jesus, and they said, "Well, let us go." And Jesus said, "Go. Go. Go." And that's what we're saying now. Go. Devil, get out of here. Go. Just leave us alone. We may have troubles and trials. That's okay. But just go. Whatever we got, we need to start using. Exercising our gift. Everybody's got a gift. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got the greatest gift there ever was. That's eternal life. Amen. So we're going to pray over this. I'll get the ministers to come. The ministers, if you will come. And Sister Anna, if you will come also. But ministers, come on. And we're going to pray over this for Sister Anna. This thing is heavy.
He said he needed a quilt.
Do what?
Said he needed
it well.
It's for Brett Jones.
Brett Jones.
My sister that was here mm-hmm. one time.
Yep.
It's for her son.
For her son.
Four stage kidney disease.
Right.
But his soul is the most important.
That's right.
That's what he needs more than anything.
All right, does everybody hear that? That's what we're praying for. We're praying for a young man, number one, to get born again.
Yes.
Number two, to get healed of this stage four liver disease. That means nothing to God. So let's all, and we're going to pray. This is going to be the biggest prayer cloth we've ever seen anywhere, I think. Just lay it over, put it all over him, put him underneath it. Amen. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray that where this cloth goes, Lord, that it'll do exactly what it was sent to do, Lord. We know, Lord, that our brother may not know you, Lord, but I pray, Lord, that you will come to him, Lord, maybe in the stillness of the night or even when this blanket is over him. Lord, that it'll bring such a conviction on him, Lord. And also bring a conviction to that demon that's oppressing him, Lord, in his liver and his kidneys. Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, that thing will leave him, Lord. And that he'll become whole, Lord. And we'll get a good report. Lord, manifest yourself, Lord, in the healing power. Lord, all these things we do, Lord. Praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, the greatest, the most powerful name that ever was. We pray, Lord, that this will be a blessing to our brother, Lord, and that you'll touch him, Father. Bless his family. Bless all the ones that even come close to this cloth, Lord. And you ask your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Give it to him. Give it to him. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow.
Precious is that.